We can turn to 1 John 4 to begin. So first I want to thank Dean for allowing me to teach. As he said last night, he asked the people at the camp meeting just to prepare a teaching. We didn't know if any of us were going to teach or not. And then last night he came up to me and said that I was going to teach first thing in the morning. So here we are now. But 1 John 4 is where we're going to begin. I also just want to mention the manifestations. They hit on a lot of what I'm going to teach tonight or today. And what I'm going to teach on is believing that God loves you. And, you know, God said in the manifestations that we fill a spot that no one else can fill. And he said that he loves us dearly. He says that you don't have to impress me. And you can't separate this love. The love that he has for us, you just can't separate it. And he said that he loves us more than anything else in this world, that he's forgiven us, and it's his love that is backing us up. So anyway, 1 John 4, we will start in verse 16. 1 John 4, 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So this is kind of like the basis of our relationship with God. You know, God is love. We can go to verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God made the first move when loving us. So herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, Jesus Christ was that payment. And again, God made the first move when loving us. And that's why we love him. You know, God is someone that's not looking to judge you. He's not waiting for you to fall in any way. He's just someone that just wants to take care of you, and someone who really just wants to love you. And something that we're going to see today is how God's love is really faithful, and it's something that's unconditional and it's infinite. So that's why we should believe in it. You know, Dean mentioned last night that just believing that God loves you is a game changer, and it's something that is a life-settling truth. So it's time that we just believe that God loves us. And the best way to see if what I'm saying is true is just to go out and believe it. You know, experience God's love for yourself. You know, especially in his word, just see the love that he has for you in his word. And see in your own life how he may take care of you and how he may just help the situations in your life. You know, he loves you, so he's going to take care of you. We can go to 1 Peter next. 1 Peter 5. Okay. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So this is a very simple verse, not really hard to understand. We just give everything to God because he just simply loves us. You know, his love is so simple, and it's just so clear that he loves us. Earlier this year, Albert met with the fellow laborers, and he shared this verse. And honestly, it just made me cry, because that was the first time where I actually believed that God really loved me, because he mentioned how it's a faithful love that, you know, God loves you with. God's never going to back down on the love that he loves us with. You can't do anything to separate, you know, the love that he has for us. If you, I don't know, go against God's word or you do something bad to someone, he's not going to be like, can't love you anymore. It's just not happening. He loves you faithfully because that's just who God is. You know, the amplified version of the Bible says deepest affection and how God watches over you carefully. Because that's just who God is. He's just looking out for you, watching out for you. You know, it's amazed me recently how just, like, clear God's word is. You know, he's made it very apparent that he loves us. So we can go to 1 John 4 again. You know, sometimes I feel like God's love can get hidden in everyday life, you know. The world is designed to knock you off of God's word because the god of this world is the adversary. But we have to remember it's God who loves you. You know, don't get swept up into everyday life thinking that there's a God out there that doesn't love you. Because the true God, he loves you. And he loves you faithfully. So we can read 1 John 4, 8 and 9. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So he manifested, he made known his love toward us by sending his only begotten son. I mean, that's a huge thing, right? this kind of makes me think of, do you guys know A Chorus Line? I know Caitlin knows. it's a Broadway musical about, like, people auditioning for this chorus line. And there's a song in it called What I Did for Love. And it's, like, a very beautiful song. But you know, this is what God did for love. He sent his only son for us so that we could have that relationship again. I mean, that's so loving. And that's our God. That's why we should really believe that God loves you. He's not like pining after you, like, I don't know, seeking evil after you or something. I don't know. He just loves you, and it's very simple. We can go to John 3. I think we all know this verse. John 3:16. Would anyone like to read this verse? John 3:16. Haley?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah, it's really that simple, and it's just so clear that God loves you. It's as simple as that. We can go to Romans 5 next. God's love for you really isn't so hidden when you just look for it a little bit. It's very clear in his word that he loves us. So Romans 5 and in verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Commendeth means to unite parts into the one whole, to put together again. So that's what God did for us with his love. He put us back together, back in fellowship with him, you know, by sending his son, you know. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That just shows God's love, you know, God's love for us. We can go to Romans 8 next. So just like a page over. Romans 8, and we'll start in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's who we are. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You know, we were always meant to be sons of God because God loves us first, and this is how he wanted us to live as sons and daughters of God. You know, in the last verse it said, commendeth his love. He put us back when, you know, the fall of man happened. Before the fall of man, we were body, soul, and spirit, but then we lost spirit, so we were walking around missing a whole part of ourselves, that spirit part. But when Christ died for us, we got that part back. We were back to being sons and daughters of God, so we were united again because of God's love for us. And then we can go down to verse 31 of Romans 8. So Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's God that is for us, and it's God that backs you up. You know, it's his power that is backing you up, and just nothing can stand against you when you have God on your side. We can go down to verse 37. So Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is our spiritual reality in this life. Simply because God loves us. You know, it's through him that loved us. We can be more than conquerors in this world. We don't have to be victims. We don't have to be afraid because we have a God that loves us and that backs us up in this life. Now we can go to Ephesians 3. Okay, Ephesians 3, and we'll start in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So God's love for us is really great, and it's so big. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to understand just because our minds are so limited. But we can really experience God's love through believing. You know, we experience God's love through faith and our own relationship with God. Sometimes I feel like God's love is kind of hard to explain just because it's just something that is better experienced. And then I found this from, I was reading Bullinger's Figures of Speech. Bullinger is like a man that studied God's word, I think in the 1800s, right? Later than 1800s? I don't know, a very long time ago. But he did a book on the figures of speech in the Bible, and he wrote for verse 17, "We are to be rooted as a tree in love. We are to be founded as a building in love. But we can never know what it is in all of its length and breadth and height and depth until we know Christ's love for us, for that surpasses all knowledge." You know, it's better than knowledge, that love. And verse 17, it says, "And to know the love of Christ," that's to experientially know, you know, to come to know it. We have to experience God's love to really know it and understand it better. You know, verse 19 again, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Filled with all the fullness of God is crazy. God gave us everything that he is when he gave us his spirit. And as I said before, the first verse that I shared, God is love. So if God is love, then we are love. And, you know, our greatest example is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ really did represent God's love. So we're going to look at an example in John 8. I feel like we all know this stuff. Like, you know God loves you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's really actually believing it and going out throughout your day just knowing that God loves you, reminding you that it's God who loves you. It's God who backs you up. And just really, really, truly believing that it's God who loves you. So John 8, and we'll start in verse 1. "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This really is the loving thing to do, just not judging her. You know, there's really a lot that we can take from this record. Firstly, this is such a vulnerable thing. You know, this woman was taken in the very act, and I don't think that would be a really fun thing to witness, right? Dean shared in his fellowship not too long ago, imagine this woman came right here. They just threw her in this meeting right here. I can't even imagine what I would do, you know? She was literally taken in the very act. She was probably naked or something, I don't know. She's in a vulnerable state. And no, she wasn't judged because Jesus Christ loved her. And he said, Neither do I condemn thee. That's the loving thing to do. You know, the loving thing to do sometimes is also to reprove. He said, Go and sin no more. And that's what needed to be said. You know, we've all heard this before, but people are really meant to be loved. They're not meant to be used. And people deserve to be loved the most when they are loved the least. So we can go to Ephesians 4 next. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, when we love God, we just love. We just do love, and we do things with love. So, but speaking the truth in love, we're going to grow. When we speak the word to other people with love in our hearts, we're going to grow, and we're really going to learn from loving people. We can go to John 13 next. I think this is where I want to go. You know, kind of going back to that record of the woman taken to adultery, sometimes we're like that. We should just go to God really vulnerable. because he's not going to judge us. He's not going to shun us away, be like, no, can't deal with this right now. He's just going to love us, and he's going to just take care of us. So we can go to John 13, and we'll read verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So, you know, God made the first move. I shared that verse earlier. God made the first move, so we just love him back. And God's telling us here, he's not asking us, he's telling us just to love one another too. And I love verse 35 because it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. You know, this is the badge of Christianity, it's love. It's just loving one another with an unconditional love. You know, not wanting anything back from someone. Let's go to 1 Samuel next. You know, everyone really does deserve to experience this love because it's great, right? It's great being loved by the creator of the heavens and the earth. So just really don't hold back when loving people, because people, they read you before they read the book. So let people see the love of God in your life by, again, simply just believing that God loves you. So 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we will read verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. I mean, that's a very tender thing to say. It pleased God to make you his people. How about believing that for a change, you know? God called you, and it wasn't a mistake that he called you, you know? I think the context of this is really cool because it's Israel wanting a king, and this is God's response to that. You know, God is a God who does what he wants. It says in verse 22, for his great name's sake, you know, he does exactly what he wants, and God chose to love you, you know? I don't know, I just like thinking about that. I think that's a comforting thought. God could have done anything. He could have loved anyone, and he decided to choose to love you. Yeah, we can go to Galatians 5 next. And I think we'll close here. Okay, Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You know, believing is energized by love. That's what I wanted to share.